Welcome to the April 9th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show, where we do a deep dive market analysis every day and cover the biggest stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. This is your host, Space Marine, live from space. So Bitcoin tried to test that $5,300 level yesterday. In the afternoon and early evening, Bitcoin went as high as about $5,300. But of course, that resistance level actually stretches from $5,300 all the way up to $5,400. So Bitcoin would have to like go above $5,400 and stay there to really say this resistance level is broken. Anyways, Bitcoin got pushed back again, and it went as low as about $5,150. It stayed above $5,100, so it looks like we have a support level now at $5,100. And we also saw support at $5,000 and $4,800, so it seems like that support level is rising. We could probably say it's at $5,100 now. So this morning, Bitcoin is actually trading near $5,200. Earlier this morning, it spiked briefly to $5,240, but was pushed back to $5,200. Right now, it's actually around $5,210. So basically, everyone's kind of waiting to see, can Bitcoin break through $5,300 or $5,400? Or is this like the end of that rally? So we had that huge rally. It was about 1 week ago it started, actually. Bitcoin spiked from $4,100 to like as high as $5,300. And we're going to have to wait and see. Can Bitcoin go through the $5,300 to $5,400 level, or are we just going to be kind of stuck down here below that level? So no one knows for sure what's exactly happening. The positives are is that since the CME Bitcoin futures expiration at the end of March, Bitcoin has risen a lot. So it seems like CME Bitcoin future traders have gone long. And also there was general strong buying pressure in the market since early February. So that would indicate maybe Bitcoin could get through this resistance level. But you can't know for sure. It's already gained a lot. I mean, it's gone up from $4,100 to like $5,200 where it is now. $1,100 gain. And it actually went up even more than that since early February. So since early February, it's up like over $1,500. So it's seen pretty major gains over the last month. And there's no guarantee it will just keep going up because like this is about as good as it gets pretty much. And if it gets even better, it'll just be kind of crazy. It's possible. Anyways, going into the rest of the market analysis, since Bitcoin has declined pretty much over the past 24 hours, since it was testing 15,300, now it's at like 5,200. The crypto market's generally in the red. Ethereum is down 0.8%. XRP, Ripple is down 1.7%. Litecoin is down 1.3%. Bitcoin Cash down 2.9%. It has slid below $300. And Litecoin has taken back that number 4 spot on CoinMarketCap. Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash are fighting for the number 4 spot. Both of their market caps are near $5.3 billion. We are seeing a gain today. EOS is up 1.7%. And that's actually because Coinbase is adding EOS. That's pretty big news. Coinbase is the biggest like mainstream retail exchange in the United States. It's like where every average person would go. Like you could download it right on your phone and you know buy crypto and sell crypto. So EOS being added to Coinbase massively increases its exposure to the U.S. market. And the EOS market cap has gone over $5 billion again. That's actually around its ICO value. EOS had the biggest ICO in history of around $5 billion. Now it's back to that value. And we'll see how this Coinbase launch goes. The past listings of Stellar and Ripple, it was like a month ago, I believe, around that time frame. So Stellar and Ripple were added to Coinbase, and neither of them really rallied at all. And we're going to have to wait and see, will EOS rally from being listed on Coinbase? Well, at the very least, instead of being in the red today like almost all other cryptos, it's in the green. Aside from EOS, Coinbase is also listing Augur, which is actually REP, REP tokens. And Augur is probably the most well-known prediction market based on blockchain technology. And basically, people bet on who will win the Super Bowl, who's going to win the election. And they could bet money on it. They could bet, like, Ethereum on it. And, yeah, it runs on the Ethereum blockchain. So, literally, you bet Ethereum. And the REP tokens are used in order to validate bets. Like, let's say the robot says, okay, you know, this team won the Super Bowl, but really the other team won the Super Bowl. Then people would take the REP tokens and vote and say, no, like, the robot's wrong, and like this is who really won the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like a fail-safe system in order to ensure that the markets go accurately, and like so someone can't just like put the wrong result into a market and win all the money even though they didn't really win. That's what the REP tokens are used for. That being said, Augur has been it's not really being used that much. Like there's very low volume of traffic on there, very little amounts of predictions. I've been seeing article after article about how Augur's not used much at all. So it's kind of surprising it's being added to Coinbase. And let me look at Augur right now. on the coin market cap listings to see if it's rallying at all from this. It might be, because it had such low volume to begin with. It's actually down 7%. So, despite being listed on Coinbase, Augur is declining badly today, down 7%. We usually don't talk about Augur on the market analysis because it's like it's barely even used. It is a major cryptocurrency, perhaps. It's at number 35, but that's mostly out of speculation. Aside from EOS and Augur, Maker, MKR, part of Maker DAO, which is a decentralized autonomous organization, is being added to Coinbase. And Maker was already going to be added to Coinbase a while ago, like a month or two ago. But they didn't get enough liquidity. So if they announce a listing, they first announce it on Coinbase Pro, and then enough people have to deposit the tokens in order to actually start the trading. So they announced Maker like a month or two ago, and it didn't get enough tokens deposited for liquidity, so it wasn't listed for trading. Well, they're trying again. And Maker is actually a coin that's used as part of a system for the DAI stablecoin. So this is a decentralized stablecoin. It's like Tether, which is pegged to $1, but it's decentralized. So it doesn't have like a bank account or anything. It uses cryptocurrency. And Maker is part of the system, which makes DAI stay stable. And Maker has not really received this news very well. It's down like 1.1%, so it has not gone up from this announcement. So just to recap, EOS, Maker, and Augur, which is REP, are being added to Coinbase. Moving on with the market analysis, Binance Coin is up 0.1%, basically nil on the day. And they're going to launch the Binance DEX sometime this month, but the exact date is not announced yet. When that happens, there might be quite a pump for Binance Coin, so you know, look out for that. Stellar is down 3%, Cardano is down 3%, Tron is down 0.9%, Bitcoin SV getting hit hard is down 4.8%. Bitcoin SV in general has just been struggling ever since it was launched. Of course, the whole crypto market rallied over the past week, so it's a lot higher than it was, $1.4 billion market cap, but it's still struggling, and it could easily lose all those gains if the market turns bearish. Monero is down 1.9%, Dash down 1.8%, IOTA down 0.4%, and then Dogecoin down 8.7%. So Dogecoin is giving back a lot of the gains it had, and Dogecoin actually went up almost 100% during this rally, and it started rallying before the rally started. Like, it went up 18% the morning before the rally started, and the rally started at midnight, and that morning before the rally is when Dogecoin went up 18%. So Dogecoin kind of led the rally. It was an indicator that the rally was coming. So maybe it's not so good that Dogecoin is losing so much value. Over the past week, the chart looks pretty bad, actually. Over the past, like, 5 days specifically, Dogecoin's kind of going straight down. That might be quite a bearish indicator. Over the past 24 hours, the total crypto market cap hasn't changed overall. It was $180 billion 24 hours ago, and that's where it is now. When Bitcoin was testing 5,300, the total crypto market cap went as high as $184 billion, but it's given back those gains since Bitcoin got thrown back to like $5,200 now. It got rejected from 5,300. So yeah, the total crypto market cap's at $180 billion. That's still 80% above the bear market lows, though. So the crypto market has been recovering quite a bit since the bear market low, especially since early February. We have seen pretty much a sustained uptrend. And now we're just waiting and seeing, is Bitcoin going to be able to get through that $5,300 to $5,400 resistance level? Or is this the top of this rally and will it decline back to its support levels? So that completes the market analysis for the day. Moving on to the first interesting story of the day, and this is pretty big news. So China is like a major hub of Bitcoin mining. In fact, a majority of Bitcoin mining hash rate is based in China, and we also have like Bitmain based in China. Bitmain's the biggest manufacturer of Bitcoin mining equipment. And it's been a little odd because since September 2017, China has been cracking down on Bitcoin. They banned fiat to Bitcoin trading. Like, all the big exchanges used to be based in China too. Like, the biggest exchanges like Binance and Huobi and OKCoin, which is now OKX, those were all based in China, but they had to leave the country because China banned fiat to Bitcoin trading. And now China wants to ban Bitcoin mining. So they put it on a list of industries that they want to phase out. And this is kind of crazy to think about because I'm based in America, and the government does not just like phase out a legal industry, but in China, they actually have a list, and it has like 425 industries on it, apparently, that they're looking to phase out. So if they decide an industry is something they don't want, like Bitcoin mining, they can literally just phase it out because they have like total control of the economy. So that's possible. First, I'm going to talk about why they want to do this. So China is a communist government. It's fairly totalitarian compared to the democratic Western world like the United States and most of Europe. And Bitcoin represents a threat to their power because they want complete control of the currency. Like, they have the Chinese yuan, and they have complete control of its rate, actually, more so than the United States has control of our rates. And Bitcoin represents a threat to that. Bitcoin is a way for people to hide their money in China or use it how they want and send money anywhere they want. China prefers not to have Bitcoin at all in theirs. That's why they closed off fiat to crypto trading, because people were moving their fiat into Bitcoin because then they had a lot more flexibility to do whatever they want with their money. And this is not a problem in the United States, even though, even in the United States, there's backlash towards Bitcoin. They blame it for money laundering and terrorism and drugs and whatever. So that's kind of like somewhat of a small scale, the backlash that China has against Bitcoin, because in general, I guess China doesn't want people to have freedom over their money. They want complete control over that money. So back to Bitcoin mining, basically, it didn't make much sense that most of the Bitcoin mining hash rate was located in China, since China's kind of against Bitcoin, since if you can mine Bitcoin in China, that's a way to collect a lot of Bitcoin. And there's more of an incentive there to get Bitcoin, so that's why we probably see most of the major Bitcoin mining farms in China and the majority of hash rates in China, because people really want Bitcoin, and that's one of the only legal ways to get Bitcoin in China. In fact, maybe the only really legal way to get Bitcoin in China is to mine it yourself. So investing in a mining farm, investing in the electricity and the rigs and the place to store all that stuff and run it, is a way of converting fiat into Bitcoin, actually. And it could become a profitable business on top of that. So China banned fiat to crypto trading, but then they left this huge loophole where people could create their own Bitcoin and invest their fiat to mine Bitcoin. So China really might close this loophole and ban Bitcoin mining, and that would mean a majority of the Bitcoin hash rate in the world would literally turn off. But this is not the end of Bitcoin. There is plenty of mining firms in the United States and Canada and Europe, everywhere in the world. There's Bitcoin mining going on. It would not affect the security of the network. In fact, it would decentralize the network even more. If the Bitcoin miners in China were forced to flee China, it would just decentralize the network and actually stimulate investment in Bitcoin mining across the entire rest of the world. And this is exactly what we saw with the exchanges. So I just talked about Huobi, OKCoin, and Binance fleeing China. They literally had to, like, escape China pretty much, like, rapidly. Not really escape, but they had to run. Like, they had to leave really quick. And what they did is they ended up expanding worldwide, investing in many different countries across the world to open fiat to crypto exchanges. And their businesses only got stronger as they kind of decentralized their company from being centered in China to being across the whole world. So that's what we could see for the Bitcoin mining industry that's in China. Like, Bitmain would have to be forced to go across the whole rest of the world. Like, Bitmain already has some outposts across the world, but they're mostly in China. Like, Bitmain would have to go across the whole world, and that might be good for Bitmain. And then all the Bitcoin miners in China would, like, probably send their rigs all over the world to sell them really quick, stuff like that. So it would actually be a decentralizing effect for Bitcoin, a good thing overall. In China, though, obviously it's a bad thing. If you're a Chinese Bitcoin miner, this could be the end. They're saying, though, it could take maybe a year or two for this to actually happen, but who knows. Moving on to the next story. So Facebook is looking for investment into its stablecoin. So Facebook is going to launch something like Facebook Coin. I think it's initially intended for, like, WhatsApp users to send money with crypto between each other, but it probably will end up being across the whole Facebook platform based on the reports I've seen. Anyways, they're looking for investment. So they're looking for as much as $1 billion to invest into this project. And I kind of don't understand this, and it makes me skeptical that, you know, Facebook is one of the biggest companies in the world. It has many, many, many billions of dollars. It's one of the top stocks in the world, probably hundreds of billions of dollars market cap. So they're asking for investment into this Facebook cryptocurrency that doesn't even exist yet. They're looking, they're contacting venture capital firms, VC firms, in order to get this money. And I guess it's just a really easy way for them to raise money, so why not do that? That might just be the end of it. It's just like, you know, they have so much reputation, and this project will probably be profitable. I wrote an article on Crypto.iq describing what this will be. Basically, they're not really competing with Bitcoin at all because it's a stablecoin. What they're competing with is PayPal. So PayPal is, like, the biggest online way to send money, but it's fiat currency. Facebook is trying to do this with, like, blockchain technology, basically. So it'll be like PayPal. It will still pretty much use fiat currency. Like, you would have to deposit fiat to get your Facebook stablecoin, which is, like, pegged to a dollar probably or something like that. So it's not much different than fiat, but it uses blockchain technology, which makes it more secure and perhaps more transparent. Possibly. They don't necessarily have to make it transparent. Anyway, so I guess that's all the news there is. They're trying to get $1 billion from investment. They really don't need it, but they, I guess they might as well do it because they can. Moving on to the next story. So there is a serious attack going on right now on Electrum, and Electrum is one of the top light wallets for Bitcoin, and a light wallet is basically, like, not a full node. So if you download Electrum, you can download it in, like, 1 minute or whatever, like, 10 minutes, however long it takes to download, and you turn it on, it's running. With Bitcoin Core, I'm actually downloading Bitcoin Core on my computer right now, and I've done this several times in my life already. It takes, like, a month or two, at least, to download this thing, even with, like, real internet. Like, I'm connected to Xfinity trying to download Bitcoin Core, and it's taking, probably going to take a month. There's, like, the blockchain's so big. So that's how you run a full node with Bitcoin Core, but with Electrum, you download it in, like, 5 or 10 minutes, it's done. So a lot of people store their money in Electrum. It's one of the more reputable light wallets there is for Bitcoin. But now, there's 140,000 computer botnet. So a botnet is like a bunch of computers that got infected. So basically, a hacker would create a program and then send it into like a torrenting website or something and disguise it as like a movie or something like that. So people think they're downloading a movie, like pirating a movie, but they're really downloading the botnet. And then that person's computer will send, like, emails to everyone else, and, like, people will click on the emails, and then their computer's infected, and they don't even know. Like, literally, if you get infected by a botnet, God forbid, you won't even know it happened. Like, it's in the background. It's very hard to find, very hard to get rid of. So there's a botnet with 140,000 computers, one of the bigger botnets out there. It's attacking Electrum with a DOS, denial of service attack, where basically it's overloading the servers with, like, many gigabytes of data every second. I think it's, like, 25 gigabytes of data per second or something. So when a DOS attack happens, denial of service, it's not actually hacking anything, but it's, like, sending so much traffic at a server that the server doesn't have a chance to handle any other requests. So there's a bunch of Electrum servers that run to, like, run the wallet. So they basically, these servers run the full node, so you don't have to. So you connect to the server that's running the full node, and then you could use Bitcoin as if you're running a full node. Well, anyways, so all these good servers that are running the real full nodes are being, like, attacked with so much traffic that they can't even function and, connect with any real users. They're just connecting to the hacker's DOS attack, and, like, they're rendered unusable. And then here's the second part of the attack that makes it way more vicious. The hackers have launched 200 servers for Electrum, and these servers prompt the user. So let's say you connect to one of the bad servers, and an Electrum wallet apparently connects to, like, 10 different servers to get a real consensus. If one out of your 10 servers that you connect to is from the hackers, and there's, like, 200 at least hacking servers, like, servers run by the hackers, then your Electrum wallet will tell you to download a new version of Electrum, like, to upgrade. And that's a common thing we see with programs. Most of the programs we have nowadays say, hey, it's time to upgrade. Click to upgrade. And you just click a button and it upgrades. Well, in this case, it's actually hackers downloading malicious software. So this can't happen. Like, if you're an Electrum user, please do not upgrade your wallet right now. That's basically the story. Like, if you click upgrade and you're connected to one of these hacking servers, like, Electrum is not doing an upgrade right now. But a lot of users have upgraded, well, downgraded pretty much. Like, they click on the button to upgrade, they download the hacked version of Electrum, and all their money disappears. So all the money that's in the Electrum wallet will disappear if you connect to one of these hacked servers and, download the hacked version of Electrum. And apparently millions of dollars has been stolen so far. So this is not just like an attack that's like theoretical. Millions of dollars has been stolen. One user lost $140,000 at least. Like, there might be even bigger losses by now. And so, like, just to recap, they're doing a denial of service attack, shutting down all the good servers basically. And then they're inserting a bunch of bad servers in there that download a bad program into the Electrum wallet. So, like, basically, a normal Electrum user would be trying to use Electrum, and their client will be trying to connect to servers, and they can't connect to, like, the good servers because the good servers can't handle any more traffic, and then they connect to a hacked server. Like, the hacked servers are not being attacked, so it's easier to connect to these hacked servers that try to make you upgrade to, like, a version that will steal all your Bitcoins. So that's a pretty big deal, and this might hurt the reputation of Electrum long-term. Apparently, they're trying to create a fix for this. Like, the developers of Electrum are trying to stop this, but this is very difficult to stop, actually. And I guess for now, I wouldn't even use Electrum, but I guess it's a sticky situation if you have your money in there. At least don't upgrade it. Maybe just don't even use it until this is resolved. Moving on to the next story. So, we kind of expected Mt. Gox to start paying people in February. That was the news in 2018, that by February 2019, we would start seeing payouts for people that were owed money by Mt. Gox. Just to recap, Mt. Gox was the biggest Bitcoin exchange in the world. It got hacked, but then it kept running for a while, but then it kind of got, like, there was a run on the bank, and they didn't have all the money to return to users, so Mt. Gox went bankrupt. And then they found 200,000 Bitcoin. So Mt. Gox lost 850,000 Bitcoins, but then they found 200,000 Bitcoins. Then the price of Bitcoin went up so much that they had money to repay, like, everyone, like, 100% refunds in terms of fiat. However, this process is being held up. It was expected to really start happening in February 2019, that people would start seeing their money back. It's not happening. And now we're finally seeing why. There's finally some news. So basically, there's CoinLabs. And CoinLabs was a partner with Mt. Gox, and they kind of sued each other right before Mt. Gox collapsed. Like, Mt. Gox sued them for saying they weren't doing their part of the agreement, whatever it was. And CoinLabs sued Mt. Gox. And CoinLab says Mt. Gox owes them $75 million. So this is holding up the entire process, and it might take up to 2 years to resolve this issue. It's like an entire court case within the Mt. Gox rehabilitation program. So the entire rehabilitation program, where people get their money back, people that were robbed by Mt. Gox and lost their money in Mt. Gox when it collapsed, it's being held up for maybe 2 years, because the entire court case has to unfold, where $75 million may or may not be given to CoinLab. So the number one Mt. Gox creditors lawyer, like the advocate for Mt. Gox creditors, has quit. He says he's sick of this and he can't handle waiting another 2 years, because it's already been going on since like 2013 or 2014. I think it's 2013. So since like 2013, 6 years, this has been going on. It started totally dismal, where like it seemed like everyone was going to lose all their money, and then there was some hope. You know, they found the 200,000 bitcoins, and then the process has been going on for at least a year, probably more, where they're planning on giving money back to the creditors, and they've sent multiple forms, like several forms so far, to the creditors saying, how much did you lose, claim the amount you lost, and we'll send it to you, but nothing's happening. The whole thing's stuck in litigation, so we're not going to see people that are owed money by Mt. Gox get paid back anytime soon. That's basically what's happening. That's all I have for you today on this April 9th, 2019 edition of the Crypto.IQ Daily Radio Show. Come back tomorrow for another exciting episode, and go to Crypto.IQ 24/7 for the most interesting stories in the Bitcoin and crypto space. Also, join the Crypto.IQ trading desk. They made 314% profit since July in the worst of the bear market. And if you join the Crypto.IQ trading desk, you can see their trades in real time, and they have a full trade analysis of each trade. Just reading that alone can make you an expert crypto trader. But then you can ask them questions in real time. They'll answer you really quickly. So joining the Crypto.IQ trading desk is the best way to become an expert and profitable cryptocurrency trader. This is your host, Space Marine, signing out. I remain in space.